Hello and welcome to another episode of the LOD podcast series on career development. My name is Will Plaskonka. I'm the manager of the Learning and Organizational Development Unit located in the HR department of the Knoxville campus. This career development series has four episodes covering the UT recruitment and application process, resumes, cover letters, and today's episode where we will talk about interviews. We have podcasts available on a variety of topics, so please take advantage of these development opportunities on a date and time that's convenient for you. With us today is Anthony Lanigan, a recruiting business partner here in our HR office. So, Anthony, I want to thank you for being here with us today as you continue your participation in these career development sessions, which kind of is creating our career development series in terms of podcasts. I want to give you two levels of thanks in the moment. One is for the work you've already done with us and you did prior to this with resumes. So I would encourage anybody who's out there who hasn't listened to the resume section, you'll get an opportunity to hear Anthony speak towards resumes in that session. And then also what you're about to bring to us today, which is the notion of interviewing and what those look like and what those should sound like and what some best practices are and all those types of things that listeners, myself included, would need to think about as we look for work, as we look for our career to expand our career and think about what that actual physical interview is going to look like and how that plays out. So I appreciate your time that you're spending with us again today and what you've already spent with us. And as a way for anybody who doesn't yet know you or hasn't listened to our other podcasts, just take a moment to introduce yourself and let us know what you do and what you're about.
Sure. Again, thank you for allowing me the opportunity to speak with our colleagues and be able to share some great information about interviewing skills and interviewing tips. My name is Anthony Lanigan, as Will mentioned, and I'm a recruiting business partner in our HR office. I've been with the university since February of this year, but I'm not new to higher ed. I've been in higher ed since spring of 2018.
Okay. All right. Very good. And like I said, in our last session, it's been great working with you, even these short 3 months. And again, thank you for being here today. So as we think about interviewing and think about what this is going to look like and some of these best practices you can provide to folks, is there kind of a, you know, just kind of start us off with, I guess, what's your interest in this, number one, and then just begin to break down some of these things that folks need to be aware of.
Sure. I think the interest in interviewing is I've always kind of antiquated interviewing to playing a game. And so it's how can we play a game and how can we become a master at this game? And that is basically telling your story. And so I think the three things that I think are most important about an interview, and we'll dive into these as our discussion goes, is that that prep work that goes into the interview, the process of, so like that during the moment of the interview, and then after the interview, that reflection period. I think those three things go into playing that game to help you become successful into mastering the art of interviewing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a great way to break it down. I love the fact that you've kind of, it's almost those three, I won't call them simple because nothing probably about interviewing is simple, as I'm sure we'll discuss. But I love that, just that break it down to before, during, and after. And that becomes more manageable in that moment. It becomes not such an overwhelming thing to think about as folks work into interviews.
Sure.
So let's start before the interview. What are some of the things you think are appropriate, you think are very valuable that maybe will help or that should help folks who are approaching an interview with a particular or potential employer?
Yeah, I think before the interview, it's all about laying that foundation for you. The more you can prepare and practice, the more that you will be likely to succeed. You'll be less nervous. You'll be more confident in yourself. You'll be able to tell your story a lot better. And so I always just say, prepare, prepare, prepare. That's what I tell anybody who is trying to like prepare for a public speaking role. This is kind of a form of public speaking. And so the more you prepare, the more confidence you'll gain in yourself, the more credibility you'll build internally to where you'll be able to really be articulate when you're in front of an interview. So one of the first things I tell people is to research. Research the company. Know what you're applying for. Know the position. Know just those little nuances that can help you understand where the hiring manager is coming from. And it also helps you understand what position that you're going into, or maybe what culture you're going into a new role or even a new place of business. So definitely research the company, know about them, know who they are and what they are. Mm-hmm. Next is practice your interviews. Whether that's with a career counselor, a friend, a family member, even if you're just by yourself in front of the mirror, watch yourself practice the interview. Try to think of questions. Go online, look up questions and find out what maybe hiring managers would be asking employees during that interview time, and just try to prepare. Next, which is that before step before an interview, is just be prompt. Always arrive for 10 or 15 minutes early. Bring extra copies of your resumes. Bring your references with you, and just always be prepared. I can't stress enough to people, I'd rather be early than late. And take that extra time, take that extra step to leave the house a little bit early. And even if that's just sitting in the parking lot, going over your notes before you actually enter into the building, you never know what curveballs life can throw at you. You never know what traffic you might hit, or if there's an accident on the road. First impressions matter. And so being on time and being punctual is very important. And going into being that prepared mindset, also be prepared to discuss about yourself. Be prepared to discuss your strengths, your weaknesses. So I recommend making a list of those skills and key assets about yourself beforehand. That way you're going to be ready to have those conversations. I think owning your weaknesses and owning your strengths are very important. It shows room for opportunity to grow as an individual. So just having that notion of, okay, these are my strengths and these are my weaknesses. How am I going to discuss those when they're asked? Because showing that confidence when you're discussing these things are just really important. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So I appreciate, and I think I've heard before, that whole notion of researching the potential employer. I mean, I think as I start to think about that, does that get into that kind of moment of, do I want to even work for you also? Because I've heard that notion. I hope that I'm not getting ahead of us here, but that idea that not only are you interviewing me for a position, but there's a certain level of I'm interviewing you as well to see if I want to be a part of this organization.
And that's exactly right. I definitely believe that knowing the company that you're going to work for is half the battle, but knowing the team that you're going to be working with, knowing the manager that you're going to be working under, that's, I think you said it so accurately, is we're interviewing each other. And so there's this reciprocity during this exchange of asking questions. Is yes, you're trying to fill me out to see if I'm a good candidate, but the same is to be said to the candidate. The candidate's also trying to get a feel for you, if this is the right culture, right environment, and right place of employment for me. So it is a two-way street at the moment. And so that's very important, that you don't take the job just to arbitrarily take the job. You take the job because it's a good fit for you and a good fit for everybody encompassing. So that's very important.
Sure. And the notion of confidence and doing all the things you can to be confident in that moment, are you suggesting that, if you said listing out your strengths, is there an actual list you might take with you into the interview and have like in a notebook, or is that just a moment of listing them out and getting very familiar with them before that actual interview happens?
I think it can be both. Okay. Honestly, I think just being prepared to be able to speak to or about what those strengths and weaknesses are, and just having that cognizance about yourself is extremely important. If it helps to write it down and take that with you, I would encourage you to do that. Whatever makes you feel most at ease. I would highly encourage you to bring a notebook or a pen or paper with you that you've already wrote down questions that you're prepared to ask the hiring manager. And even if that's just notes about yourself and just prompts that are just those key words to remind you, just certain things to ask or certain things to say even during an interview. I don't think there's anything wrong with that. That's just part of being prepared.
Yeah. When you mentioned, and I'm a reference back our resume session, reference that's kind of your advocacy moment, but this is that second level, that next level where you actually begin to use your words and you can begin to speak about what some of those things are. So I always wonder too, be prepared. Is this a fair statement as well as just be prepared to, I want to say defend your resume, but be able to speak to it.
Yeah. And that goes into telling your story. Mm-hmm. I think what you put on your resume, this gives you the opportunity to expand on that, share more about it, share your successes and share those words that are just on a piece of paper and help those words come to life. Mm-hmm. And that's, I think that's the art of storytelling. If you're able to be a good storyteller and show that passion and that enthusiasm about your work, that's going to convey a great message to the hiring manager or to the panel of people that are interviewing you. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And the last thing I'll call back to what you just said too, is then that's that practice part of it as well. Is it
right?
Being
right.
Prepared to speak and comfortable and.
Exactly. Because what happens there is, and this is where a great candidate can lose the position, is when you start fumbling over those words and you have a lot of those moments of pause or moments of uncertainty or unclarity, and you're not quick to the trigger with your answers, it makes you seem less prepared and maybe unfamiliar with even the role or what you're talking about. So you can come off less credible. Gotcha. And that's something that you really want to try to avoid when you're interviewing. You want to come off very credible. You want to come off prepared. You want to come off ready to tackle the world in the position that you're applying for. So that's a great point.
So all that from that confidence that you started this whole conversation with, having that confidence to bring that back. All right. Well, that's great. So that gives us a great first step, at least when I think about, and you talked about before that interview. So kind of what would be next in your mind? What's the next step to think about?
Yeah. So the next step is just in the moment, right? During the interview, we live in a virtual world right now. So sometimes that interpersonal feel can be lost. So I'm going to try to touch base on both because right now, depending on where you're at, sometimes those Zoom interviews or those virtual interviews are what we have been doing a lot of and what has been most prevalent. But those face-to-face interviews are starting to kind of matriculate back in. And so I think reassessing some of those practices are important. So what I want to do is I want to kind of talk about both. So talking about Zoom interviews first, or those virtual interviews, is how can you reinvent that handshake? How do you have that first impression that's kind of lost sometimes in that virtual world. So some of those areas that I like to share with people is just maintaining your nonverbals. Nonverbal communication is 75% of communication. And so what that looks like is just showing your energy, making eye contact, showing that you're intrigued about the topic. And that just goes back to just being prepared again. And so it's one of those things where when you're sitting in that little square box, how can you show your personality? How can you be you? And that's a challenge. That's a big challenge. And I don't know if I have the right answer other than just telling you to try to be yourself. You can't replace the handshake. You can't replace that interpersonal connection that you can make with people. And that's unfortunate, but what you can do is you can smile, you can nod, you can give that good nonverbal feedback to the interviewer. You can be enthusiastic. You can show positive attitude. You can show interest. Those are all those nonverbals that you can display. Your body language, sitting up straight with your shoulders back, that just that proper posture, just all of that that conveys confidence, that conveys that you're the right candidate. But coming in there and looking slouched or looking tired or not coming with that energy, those, because you're sitting at home, right? It kind of doesn't give you that feel of an interview. So try to paint it as if it's that you're in the office somewhere to almost simulate that moment. So that would be my tip, I guess, for those virtual interviews, is try to simulate that moment.
Yeah, that could be a challenge, depending on obviously what's going on in the house, what's going on around you, where you happen to be in the moment. But I can see what you're saying. And I think about Zoom and what that looks like, is there's so much that can be represented by our face, you know, our eyebrows lifted or leaning into the camera or whatever it happens to be. Just as you say, making sure that folks on the other side can see that you're in it and you're thinking about it.
And that kind of goes back to being prepared too. You know, don't, I've seen this often, whether it's in an interview or just throughout the recruitment trail, is you log on to the interview and your camera's up and everybody's seeing you and you're adjusting your camera and you're fixing things and you're yelling at the dog or this, that, and another. And those are those distractions that you want to eliminate during that time, because that goes back to what I said of, you want to simulate that you're actually in that office. So if you know you're going to have that interview, find a place where those distractions are limited or at least removed. Goes into preparing. Make sure that camera is set up right and that you're prepared for that interview and that you're not creating additional stressors that's going to throw you off. Because there's nothing more than being nervous, trying to show a good impression, and then something happens that distracts you and you lose that train of thought. And that could have been the moment where your interview now is tanking. And so those are those things you want to eliminate.
Yeah. Yeah. And if we are in a virtual space, I'll go back and circle you back also to preparedness. Play with the software, maybe a little bit, test it out a few times, get used to it, get familiar with it. So the last thing, because as you talked about being prompt, you know, I don't want, as somebody who may be conducting an interview, I don't want to be waiting there at 3 o'clock exactly. When the interview was at 3 o'clock and somebody pops in at 3:03 or something.
Exactly. Exactly.
Okay. Very good. So is that kind of the basis for, or what you think around the notion of virtual? How about backgrounds? Let me take us for just a quick, I know you said find a place that's will be minimal distracting.
Right. But I think backgrounds is always an interesting topic. That's kind of like the, do you put color on your resume? I think backgrounds could even be distracting at times to the interviewer. So I would just caution you of just try to find a plain wall in your house. If you're at home or in the office, and if you don't have one, find a very neutral setting that you can place behind you, but having the Golden Gate Bridge or
the moon,
looking like you're just those type of things, which those are great, but I feel like sometimes those might convey biasness. And so anything that you can do just to eliminate those things and just have a plain backdrop is just, I think that's most appropriate. And if you can find that would be what I would do.
That's the Zoom world. That's the virtual world. So let's talk about the now when we get to actually in person.
Yeah. So that in person, that more of that interpersonal feel. Always, I'm a little old school in my thinking, but I always think having that firm handshake conveys a lot. When someone sticks their hand out there to greet you, you want to have that warm presence and that warm embrace. And so make sure that you have that good handshake. That's your first impression with the person that's greeting you. And so I think that's very important. Always dress appropriately. Again, that goes back to your first impression. You know, be polished, right? Have a nice clothing on, professional dress, comb your hair, you know, trim your beard, you know, all those little nuances that maybe sometimes you don't think of, and just look the part, right? You always want to dress for the part that you want, for the job, that for the position that you want. And so I don't believe in being overdressed. I think suit and tie is still one of the most appropriate things to for a male to wear. And I think for our female counterparts, I believe, you know, a long sleeve shirt and blouse, or even a suit for females are also appropriate. I also say I would minimize cologne and perfume, you know, something that's very pungent or very, very strong in smell. I always recommend that maybe you forgo that. You're not going to the club, you're not going out partying or doing anything like that. This is a serious endeavor. And so I always kind of equate it to dress like you would go to church, or dress like you would go to a formal gathering, because that's what this is. This is a formal gathering. And so I think it's important that you take it seriously. And I think dressing the part shows how serious you are about the position that you're applying for. I've seen a lot of time, oftentimes I have seen people come in for an interview and you scratch your head and you're like, wow, this is the first impression. And you really want to avoid that. So definitely dress the part. And again, coming prepared, bringing that briefcase, bringing that notepad, having an interest in what you're applying for, listed down, having those questions pre-prepared. I always tell people to bring an additional resume with them. I know sometimes you're not sure how many people are in the room. If you have that information beforehand, I always would print quite a few and bring those with me to administer to whoever's in the room with you. I think that's good practice. Not everybody does that. I know that, you know, they could simply print off the resume themselves, but that's just another layer of being prepared. I like having my resume in front of me when I'm talking to it, because it's a good reference guide. I don't want to try to commit everything to memory. And that just goes to being able to speak with confidence when you're in the middle of your interview. And so having your resume or your cover letter, both of those items in front of you, because when the interviewer is challenging you to answer certain questions, you have your own reference guide on those. And so that's a nice way to stay articulate and stay ready for the rumble. Again, I think nonverbals are also important in a face-to-face interview. Giving those a smile, the nodding of your head, the writing down of questions, showing positive behavior through your body language is always important. And then always thanking your interviewer at the end, whether that is on the virtual scale or on the face-to-face scale. I think you always want to thank the interviewer or the panel who interviewed you for their time. I think that's just another common courtesy practice that I would encourage you to do.
Yeah, you've mentioned a few things that made me think of that very word, courtesy, and one of them was having extra copies of resumes and things, and the notion of that first handshake and being able to just kind of connect with somebody right there and show them I'm here and I'm serious. And you mentioned 75% when you're talking about virtual is nonverbal. 75% of our communication is nonverbal. That's maybe even, I don't want to say more important in an in-person setting, because they're important in both spaces, but certainly I guess in-person, you've got more opportunity to see some of those nonverbals as well.
Right. Right.
So, okay. Okay. And having those questions pre-made, prepared, like you talked about, and your resume to be able to speak to it.
The other thing about questions, if I have a moment to just add to that, is sure. I think arbitrarily asking questions doesn't benefit you. Everybody can just ask a random question to just have a question. I think the most important part is being intentional with the questions that you're asked. How can you ask a question that you can circle that question back around to your skill set or your strengths? So maybe an example would be if the position required specific work in various systems, and you ask them what systems does this position require you to use, and the manager shares what those systems are, you could sit there and say, I might not have experience with that specific system, but I have experience with these systems, and this is what I do in that, and then expand on your experiences within that system. So it helps you demonstrate that you can do that skill, though it's in a different system setting, but you still have experience in that skill set. So it just helps further your advancement. And so being intentional with the questions that you ask, that you can circle it back around to your strengths, I think is very important. It's all about playing that game that I mentioned at the very beginning. And this is one of those key steps, I think, to where you can really set yourself apart from other candidates about how you can be so intentional with the questions that you're asking that you can circle that right back around to your strengths. And that's important.
Yeah, those give you just that one more opportunity to advocate for yourself and share your experience and say, oh, well, you know, like, okay, it's good that you use that because I have, I can, exactly. I will, those kinds of things. All right. Very nice. Very nice. All right. So we've been down the road of all the preparation work that needs to be done before in that space of earning or gaining some confidence. So when you bring all of that to the interview itself, be it virtual or in person, you have that confidence, you're prepared, you're ready, you're jumping in, you've made a good first impression in terms of the way you dress and how you arrive and your demeanors. But then let's talk about after. So the interview's done, you've given that handshake, you've thanked them for the time, and off you walk. Now what? Now what do you think?
So I would probably ask this maybe right before you walk out the doors. I would always request maybe a business card of theirs. That way you have their contact information. Just in case you don't have their contact information beforehand, but even if you do, I think it's also a good way to still make that additional connection. So ask the interviewer for their business card. And the reason why you want to ask them for their business card is so you can send them a thank you note. I always think it's important. A lot of candidates don't do this. Sometimes you forget, or sometimes, you know, life kind of happens. Once the interview's over, you're just kind of like, oh my gosh, it's over. I'm done. That weight's been lifted from me. And you kind of just go about your day. But I think it's very important to, once you've completed your interview, after you've reflected a little bit in the evening, go ahead and send that thank you note to the hiring manager and just simply say, thank you for taking time out of your day to interview with me. I've really enjoyed my time. If there's any additional information I can send you, please let me know. I'll be looking out on the lookout for your email or future correspondence. Just something that thanks them. And then I think the next thing is for you is just to have that moment right after the interview to have some self-reflection. Think about how that process went. Think about your performance and think about what you did well, what you did right. Because again, this is a game. If you don't get this position this time, how can you do better next time? And that goes into the follow-up email. Let's say you don't get the position that you just applied for and interviewed for. I always encourage you to follow up that hiring manager, whether it's through email or a phone call, and ask them, hey, what can I do differently to land this position? What can I improve on to be able to land a position like this? And request that they give you feedback. 9 times out of 10, that hiring manager will give you feedback that you can use and implement for your next position. People who don't do that, you're setting yourself up to fail again. And so you have to learn from your mistakes to be able to be successful in the future. And so asking those questions, what can I do to improve on? Having that self-reflective time of going, man, maybe I should have answered that question a little differently. Or man, I did really good here. I need to remember that for the next time I have the opportunity to interview. Because one of those, the thing about interviewing is you have to sell yourself. And people innately don't want to talk about themselves. They want to talk about other people. They don't want to talk about themselves. We're not good about selling ourselves. But you have to be that advocate for you. And so learning to be able to tell your story and to make those words on your resume come to life and dance, you have to be able to articulate that. And so that's why interviewing is an art. It's a skill. And so having that moment to reflect and to think back and to ask that hiring manager what you can improve on, I think it's just so important. It's such an important step after the interview process to be able to take that and implement it. And that's the most important part, is implementation.
I don't think that's something that people typically think about. And I'm not in your world in the context of recruiting and being all neck deep and all these types of things and this type of work. But I can't imagine that many people think to themselves, oh, I didn't get this job. I need to find out why. They just go, oh, I didn't get this job. Well, on to the next. We'll see what else comes up and we'll see what else comes open. But yeah, what can I gain from this? What can I learn from this?
And I think that's the most important part, is not to be, yeah, it's a bummer, right? You don't get the position that you wanted, that you applied for. But I think the bigger bummer is not learning from that experience, because every interview is an experience. It's an experience that you learn to be able to sell yourself, to be able to land that job that you want. And so I think that's the biggest takeaway, is that, yeah, you didn't get the position, but you've gained experience that will help you gain that position and hopefully in the future.
Mm-hmm. And those follow-up questions too, if I can one more step into this, is in interviews I've had in long past, it was like, as you suggested, when you're done with the interview, you're kind of like, oh, whew, we're over, that's done. And the details tend to disappear. And sometimes in the moment, we're just talking about what we want to say, as opposed to really thinking about what we're trying to communicate. And so those details, you think, okay, I think it went all right, I think. But being able to touch base with those folks, and as you say, if most folks do respond with that kind of feedback to you, that's a piece of valuable information that we can always use.
Exactly. And I'm confident in saying that through my young career, I have interviewed quite a bit at various places. And I would say about 95% of the employers, when I've asked them that question, they've responded with some type of feedback of areas where I did great and areas where you can improve on. And so you get the best of both worlds, and it's a great tool to be able to add into your belt for the next round of interviews that you might be facing.
All right. Well, so we've been through the before, we've been through the during, both virtually and in person, and now we've talked about the after side. Is there anything additional you want to bring to the moment right now, a last word of advice or anything that you think this is what folks need to hear and walk away with?
I think if anything, the biggest takeaway that I would recommend you walking away from this session is just being prepared to be able to talk about you and your skills. I think it's going to be the largest takeaway, because the more you prepare, the more you practice, the more success you're going to have, because you're going to be calm. You're going to be nervous if you don't do that. You're going to be nervous anyways, but the more you prepare, it's going to lower that nerves, those nerves. And so I just think, just looking over everything that we talked about, I think just that very beginning portion, that before the interview part, is probably the most crucial, that legwork right before, than the actual interview. So if you put time and effort into that before, I think your interview will go well.
Let me say thank you again for the time you've spent with us today. Let me also say, as you were saying, you've interviewed for a number of positions in your young career. I'm pleased to say, and happy to say, and glad to say that you interviewed for this one and you've landed down the hall here in HR. So your expertise in this moment has been valuable for me, and I'm sure will be valuable for the folks who are listening. So Anthony, thank you for your time. Not only today, but again, I'll draw people back to the resume session we did and ask them to listen to that one and listen to some of the great advice you had in that section also.
So. Well, again, it was a pleasure doing this, and I appreciate the invite to come back.
All right. Well, you have a good afternoon, and thank you, Anthony.
Thank you. You too.
Thank you for listening today to this LOD podcast on interviewing. Please take a listen to all of our episodes in this series on career development, including sessions on the UT recruitment and application process, resumes, and cover letters. This is Will Pleskanka, manager of the Learning and Organizational Development Unit in the HR office of the Knoxville campus. Thank you for joining us and have a great day.